In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who do you think you are? Family trees delight us, intrigue us, and sometimes disappoint us. One side of our family was delighted to learn recently within their family tree that Admiral Lord Nelson pops up in the family tree. Delighted with that, a little deflated to know that the rest of the family hails from up north, which, thinking of themselves as good southerners, came as a bit of a blow. The programme, Who Do You Think You Are?, has been popular precisely because we learn more about an individual by finding out what has shaped them deep down in their roots. Knowing our roots gives us an account of who we are, and that can apply to nations as much as individuals. The family tree of Jesus is described by St. Matthew, and it opens his gospel. The family tree, the genealogy, is what comes just before the passage of the gospel we heard this morning. It's fair to say there are almost certainly gaps in it, and there are almost certainly additions to it. Nevertheless, that family tree set out by Matthew is trying to say something very important. It tells us that our meaning, our roots, our descent is not dependent on our DNA or our genetic inheritance. It tells us how Jesus is the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it concludes by saying, in a very neat and tidy way, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation in Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Messiah, 14 generations. Jesus' family tree is a theological statement before it is a biological statement. It's saying, who do you think he is? It contains within it, unusually for a document of its time, some women. And both men and women in that family tree are what we might say are not highly virtuous people. There's a bit of skeleton in the family closet tucked away in that family tree. All of them have been in some way deeply compromised. In other words, they are deeply human. Jesus' family tree traces those well-known names: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Rahab, Ruth, Jesse, David, Solomon, and some little-known names as well: Aminadab, Nashon, Asaph. Each family has embarrassing names, doesn't it, tucked away somewhere in the family tree. It even takes in Ahaz, the one of whom our first reading spoke. So that genealogy, that family tree, becomes something of an overture where key themes are unfolded, which take us to this morning's gospel reading. All those names have been driving us on relentlessly to what we've all been waiting for. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. The genealogy of Matthew is profoundly Advent in character. It is about preparation and expectation and the coming of the Word of God, a coming for which we are told to be expectant and prepared. This is a cosmic event, not bound by time, and yet Christ is born in history. Christ revealed in word and sacrament, present with us now. Christ, who will come again in glory, the Christ to whom we pray in the ancient words of his own language, Maranatha, meaning, Amen, come, Lord Jesus. The coming Christ was not a one-off or some future event, but the Christ who comes into our lives now. The genealogy is as much about the church today as it was about our history. It tells us that we are grafted into that tree, like those who go before us, as flawed, compromised, and stumbling individuals. We become Jesus's slightly embarrassing relations. What transforms all this, then, is not some superior biological inheritance, but the presence of Emmanuel. God is with us. This is the decisive proclamation of the incarnation and the nativity. God is so utterly and totally bound up in our experience that all our life is hallowed. We become a source of possibility, not embarrassment. Even when we feel far from him by our own self-loathing or our doubt or our sin, by his grace and his Holy Spirit, he is still Emmanuel, God with us. This is who I am. In the bleakest, darkest times of bruising experiences or violence or cruelty, he is still Emmanuel, God with us. And in those times when we feel great, when we feel bloated by our own success and elated and cause to forget him, he is still Emmanuel, God with us. Our salvation cannot be earned by working just that little bit harder, being that little bit more holy. Our salvation isn't a remote prospect because Jesus just appeared to be a bit human and was really far too divine to be human like us. Our salvation is not neutered simply because, well, Jesus was just a good moral teacher or so human that he wasn't really God. Our salvation, that of the world, is a sheer gift, and that gift is Emmanuel, God with us. The challenge of the life of the Christian, indeed of every human being, is to continue to work out the implications of what it means to say Emmanuel, God with us. How is my life different given Emmanuel? And what does it look like when I attempt to airbrush out or erase Emmanuel from my life? How can I know Emmanuel, God with us, like person to person? Well, it seems to me that this Sunday gives us a chance to explore the family tree into which we have been grafted. We can say, this is who we are, the church. And as we look at the end of that family tree, we see the righteous, silent Joseph, who speaks in actions, not in words. We see the faithful, open, assenting Mary, who gives her body to be Theotokos, God-bearer, the mother of God. And we see and know Jesus Christ, God himself, Emmanuel, silently nestled into the womb of his mother, just as Christ, working deep within us, brings us to the Father, as surely as he grew deep within Mary, ready to be born in time and for all time. in the Lady Chapel of this cathedral church, and you may be familiar with it, there is an icon. It is the icon of the tree of Jesse. It is a visual presentation of the family tree of Jesus. Well, at least the last 14 generations of it anyway. And it places Christ right at the centre of the icon, sitting enthroned upon the lap of Mary, the one who brought him to birth, as he brought her into being. As you stand and gaze upon this icon, you are in effect contemplating your family tree and who you are. And I would commend a visit, if not this morning, then in the coming days, to that icon. And as you stand and gaze upon it, you see yourself grafted into the story. You might not think you can see yourself in it, but when you place yourself before it, you are there before Emmanuel, God with us, and you are drawn into his loving gaze. You become, if you like, the 15th name in the generations of the family tree. And I want to close by reading from an anonymous 16th century poem, which, as happy chance would have it, and I found this out before today, is being sung as our communion motet. I've placed a copy of it by the icon in the Lady Chapel, and it's printed on your sheet with the collect and readings. And perhaps as it's being sung, you might just listen to that and hear something of the mystery of being part of Emmanuel, of being part of his Blessed Mother Mary and his guardian Joseph, when you become part of his family tree. A tender shoot hath started up from a root of grace, as ancient seers imparted from Jesse's holy race. It blooms without a blight, blooms in the cold, bleak winter, turning our darkness into light. This shoot, I saith, taught us from Jesse's root should spring. The Virgin Mary brought us the branch of which we sing. Our God of endless might gave her this child to save us, thus turning darkness into light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.